Be strong and courageous. Those are the words that the Lord spoke to Joshua as he was sending him across the Jordan to take possession of the Promised Land.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller talking about his presentation at the 2026 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Where does that courage come from? From Joshua's strength? From the number of soldiers? No, from the promise. I will not leave you or forsake you. The Christian is courageous to face all of the troubles of this world, not because we're strong, not because we can resist the world and the flesh and the devil on our own, but because the Lord is with us. The Lord fights for us. The Lord keeps us through all the troubles of life into the joy and hope of the life to come.
You can meet and hear Pastor Brian Wolfmiller making the case for Christian courage at this year's Making the Case Conference, June 12th and 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more at issuesetc.org.
This is the day which the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
From the rising of the sun to its setting. Return to the Lord, your God, for he is gracious and merciful.
Slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, and repentance of evil.
Jesus said, if any man would come after me,
let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me.
Christ was wounded for our transgressions.
He was bruised for our iniquities.
From the rising of the sun to its setting.
In the name of the Lord, Jesus, we praise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. A reading from Luke chapter 22. And when the hour came, he reclined at table, and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat
it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise the cup after they had eaten, saying, This cup is poured out for you, is the new covenant in my blood. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered.
He was delivered out of death. He was delivered for the sins of the people.
We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous one. You shall
have no other gods. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God. Remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Honor your father and your mother. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not give false testimony against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife.
Small Catechism, page 326. What is the benefit of this eating and drinking? How can bodily eating and drinking do such great things?
Certainly not just eating and drinking do these things, but the words written here, the image shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. These words, along with bodily eating and drinking, are the main thing in the sacrament. Whoever believes these words, that's exactly what they say, forgiveness of sins.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Last week we began this series noting that more than 60% of you are master's level students, are 20-something. We also noted that Barna research indicates that more young adults are engaging the church, and that younger pastors are more likely than those over age 45 to report an increased engagement among both Generation Z, ages 13 to 26, and Millennials, 27 to 41. It's within this view, then, that the approach of this catechetical series seeks to illustrate how the sacrament of the altar might be preached to these generations, recognizing that even Gen Xers and Boomers are not immune from the culture all around us. Last week, we focused on in, with, and under God's physical presence in a digital world. This morning, we focus on the forgiveness of sins as identity and rest. If you are in your 20s today, you are likely living under a crushing weight that generations before you didn't have in quite the same way. It is the weight of the curated self. From the moment you wake up and check your notifications, you're being asked to justify your existence. Your LinkedIn profile tracks your professional hustle. Your Instagram feed curates your aesthetic value. Your dating apps quantify your desirability. You are a generation of high achievers and deep warriors. You have been told that you can be anything, and that often feels like the terrifying demand that you must be everything. You live under a relentless law that says, if you do enough, you will be enough. But the goalposts are always moving. No matter how many goals you crush or how much self-care you practice, the internal voice of the critic remains. It whispers that you are an imposter. You are one mistake away from being canceled, or that you are simply falling behind. This creates a perpetual state of spiritual and mental unrest. You are searching for a Sabbath that actually works, a rest that isn't just a Netflix binge or a vacation, but a rest for the conscience. And it is precisely into this exhaustion that Jesus speaks those words, given and shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins. In Lutheran theology, we have a very specific way of talking about the Lord's Supper. We don't just call it a memorial or a nice tradition. We call it a means of grace. Think about what a means is. If you are dying of thirst in the desert, you don't need a lecture on the molecular structure of H2O. You don't need a map showing you a distant oasis with a lake. You need a glass of water. You need a means to get that water into your body. The Lord's Supper is that glass of water. Martin Luther taught that the whole power of the sacrament lies in those two small words, for you. When Jesus instituted this meal, he didn't say, this is my body given for humanity, in a general abstract sense. No, he said it was for you. For the version of you that didn't get out of bed this morning until 9:55. For the version of you that snapped at your wife and children this morning. For the version of you that feels paralyzed by the future unknowns of intern and vicarage assignments and candidate placements. In this meal, the forgiveness of sins is not a theory. It is a delivery. When the pastor places the host in your hand or on your tongue, Jesus is personally signing his name to your pardon. He is saying, I know exactly what you did. I know exactly who you are. And I died for that person. This is for you. The early church fathers had a beautiful name for the Lord's Supper. They called it the medicine of immortality. In your 20s, you often feel invincible on the outside, but incredibly fragile on the inside. You are dealing with the first real deaths in your life, the death of childhood dreams, the death of relationships, perhaps even the death of your own mental health as anxiety or depression sets in. Lutherans believe that where there is forgiveness of sins, there is also life and salvation. This isn't just about what happens after you die, it's about the life you are living right now. When your sins are forgiven, you are unburdened. The weights are taken off of your shoulders. This meal acts as a reset button. When you kneel at the rail, your job title doesn't matter. Your class rank doesn't matter. Your bank account doesn't matter. Your follower account is irrelevant. You are simply a baptized child of God being fed by your Father. This is the ultimate safe space. It's a place where you are allowed to be weak, needy, and imperfect, because the one feeding you is perfect for you. St. Augustine famously said, "Our hearts are restless until they find rest in thee." Most of the rest of the world offers you is temporary. It's a distraction. But the rest Jesus offers in his body and blood is an objective reality. It is based on a done work, not on your to-do list. When you hear the words of absolution and then receive the sacrament, you're being told that the most important thing about you, your standing before God, is already settled. You don't have to earn his love. You don't have to maintain a certain vibe to keep his grace. You just have to receive with empty hands. This gives you a new kind of hustle, a hustle born out of gratitude rather than fear. When you know you are already enough in Christ, you can get back to your job, your studies, and your relationships with a sense of freedom. You can fail because you know failure isn't final, and you can succeed because success isn't your savior. Finally, this meal is a preview. In a world that often feels like it's falling apart economically, environmentally, socially, politically, the Lord's Supper points us toward a heavenly banquet where every tear will be wiped away. In your 20s, it's easy to feel like this mess is all there is. But every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are tasting the future. You are receiving a down payment on your eternal inheritance. You are being reminded that your story doesn't end in an office cubicle, a study, or a lonely apartment. It ends at a table with the King. So tomorrow, and this week, even the day after, bring your anxiety. Bring your imposter syndrome. Bring the sins you're too ashamed to tell your friends about. And listen as Jesus looks you in the eye through his word and says, "This is my body given for you." Eat, drink, and finally, truly rest in him. In his precious name we pray. Amen.
In our prayers, we give thanks to God for the birth of a son, Boaz Emmaus, born to Vicar Eric and Susan Nuss. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the gift of divine peace and of pardon, with all our heart and with all our mind, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the Holy Christian Church, here and scattered throughout the world, and for the proclamation of the gospel and the calling of all to faith, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this nation, for our cities and communities, and for the common welfare of us all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For seasonable weather and for the fruitfulness of the earth, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For those who labor, for those whose work is difficult or dangerous, and for all who travel, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For all those in need, for the hungry and homeless, for the widowed and orphaned, and for all those in prison, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the sick and dying, and for all those who care for them, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For Boaz, that he might be preserved from all dangers of body and soul, and brought to the saving waters of holy baptism, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Finally, for these and for all our needs of body and soul, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy. Christ, have mercy. Lord, have mercy.
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, your mercies are new every morning. And though we deserve only punishment, you receive us as your children and provide for all our needs of body and soul. Grant that we may heartily acknowledge your merciful goodness, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
I thank you, my Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have kept me this night from all harm and danger. And I pray that you would keep me this day also from sin and every evil, that all my doings in life may please you. For it is your hands that command myself, my body and soul of all things. Let your holy angel be with me, that the evil foe may have no power over me. Amen.
Let us bless the Lord. The Almighty and Merciful Lord, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, bless and preserve us.